101.5 FM proudly presents The Community Kitchen with Annette Long.
And welcome to Community Kitchen. I cannot believe it's almost the end of February already. The days just go too fast every day. Pancake Day today or Strove Tuesday. It's a traditional feast day because the start of Lent is on Ash Wednesday. Irrelevant to whether or not you follow that particular belief or not, I think I love the reasons behind things, and sometimes we lose that reasoning. But it was the last chance for a spot of indulgence before 40 days of fasting, and also an opportunity to use up food that couldn't be eaten during Lent. This included eggs, fat, and milk. And really, what better thing to do than have pancakes? So I think that sometimes behind each history is a reason why a particular thing come about. But today I'm going to be talking savoury. Now, we all love to have a savoury food. I do. I mean, I love a sweetie, but, oh, you got to love a savoury. And last night I must have been the other night I was getting in the swing of pancakes, and I made a lasagna. I'd been watching a Rick Stein, and he made this really fantastic pancake filled with a seafood mix with a bechamel, a white sauce, and rolled it up, and I thought, you know, I used to make that once in the 80s when we used to have dinner parties, and dinner parties were what happened. You'd all get together and cook, and you know, you might do three or four courses, but it was just part of it. It didn't have to be that fancy. You weren't dressed to visit the Queen, but it was just what you used to do. And now we're down to like a barbecue, bring your own meat and chair and everything else. But back then, it was sort of like a rotation where people had the parties, and I was only thinking about the pancakes. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to make a lasagna using the pancakes and just a nice simple little pancake. And I tell you what, when it was cooked, it was just delicious. As much as the pasta is just beautiful, the pancake was really, really nice. And I can remember doing a function one time where we made pancakes, and we had this lovely roasted pumpkin with some nice cheeses, blue cheese inside, and just a little bit of deep fried sage just sprinkled over these pancakes with just a nice dressing on top. There's so many different ways to do it. But let's talk about these savoury pancakes. And you know, each country has their own special little particular savoury pancake. And in China, they have China and Taiwan, there's a variety of savoury pancake, and some are thick and others are thin. And the particular favourite of this particular writer where I downloaded this information, and it's around the world in 21 savoury pancakes, and I think it's a really good site to have a look at. These are a thin wheat-based pancake filled with green onions, griddle fried atop a thin layer of scrambled eggs filled with melted cheese slices, rolled, sliced, and dipped in a soya or hoisin sauce. And that would just be such a good carrier. In Korea, they have a particular one called a jeon. And it's like bing. There's savory fillings like kimchi, vegetables, meat, and fish. And it's incorporated in a really rich batter of egg and wheat flour, and fried, crispy dunked. And it's a Korean staple that combines soy sauce, rice, vinegar, spices, and sesame seed. And so that would be beautiful. So soy sauce, rice, vinegar, spices, and sesame seed. So that particular pancake gets dunked into that. That would be just a beautiful combination. Then, of course, the Vietnamese, and I have had this and just think it is so beautiful, a bánh xe ó. And it is a really big omelette, but the meaning translates to a sizzling cake. And it's made from rice flour, coconut milk, and made with golden turmeric, not egg. So it's a really beautiful, they call it the yellow pancake. And the filling options are just about endless. But I had this when I was fortunate enough to be in Vietnam, and there's stuff with shrimp and pork, green onions, lots of bean sprouts, which I do love, and served with fresh lettuce, lots of fresh lettuce leaves, herbs, and a really beautiful garlicky lime sauce for dipping. So you're just tearing the pancake or the thin crepe with the filling and wrapping it in that leaf. And then when it's wrapped, you dip it in that beautiful garlicky lime sauce. And it is just absolutely scrumptious. I'm going to share that recipe with you in our cooking section today because it's not that hard, and it is, oh, it's just sensational, beautiful. And of course, the roti, the Malaysian, and that is a really buttery, flaky wheat pancake, and it's served throughout South and Southern Southeast Asia. And in Malaysia, roti is served alongside a warm spiced dal or curry for dunking. And the trick with this particular one, I've watched a couple of shows on that, is actually to make sure that you roll the layers over and over like a puff pastry. And then just as you're starting to cook it, after it's cooked and fried in the pan, then you push the sides in so all those layers explode and they just, it's just so nice and crunchy. So that's something that really is worthwhile. A good roti is just so beautiful. And then there's the dosas, and they're made from a fermented rice batter. And they're griddled in huge, thin, ultra-thin crepes that can be eaten plain or stuffed with spiced potatoes, like for a masala dosa. And then there are the multi-grain flatbreads with fresh coriander, chilies, curry leaves and other herbs and spices kneaded into the dough before frying. And they are delicious. I bought some of these frozen from an Indian general store, and they were just filled with chili and coriander. And I tell you, the result was just mouthwatering. And to have them served beside a good curry or something like that is just fantastic. And then in Ethiopia, injera is a really thin, spongy pancake, and it's made from a fermented teff flour that tastes a little bit like sourdough. It's only griddled on one side, so the bottom is really smooth, and the top gets all dappled and porous, and that makes it really perfect to be able to mop up the sauces and the dishes with that. And of course, in the martabak, it gets its name from the Arabic word for folded, and this is in for Thailand, Indonesia, Singapore and India. It's elastic wheat dough and is stretched thin and fried to a crisp in sunflower or coconut oil before being filled with eggs, spice meat or herbaceous vegetable fillings and folded into a square and sliced. I mean, some of these things are just so good. And, of course, potato pancakes. Now, throughout Europe and the Middle East, these are things that are just lovely. So, they're, you know, with the potato flour, it's a whole different type because it becomes very crisp with onions and spices and a little bit of sour cream on top of that. So the different combinations are really, really good. Indonesia, there's a particular pancake called a serabai, and it's a savoury variation of the bite-sized pancakes that are made with rice flour and coconut and topped with grated cheddar, mayonnaise, cream cheese or meat. That'd be different. And then, of course, for Australia and New Zealand, have a guess what they've got? Pikelets. The savoury version of these fluffy bite-sized pancakes is served with a smoked salmon or trout, cream fraiche, cream cheese or cottage cheese, and of course I would have to say some really finely chopped purple onion and some capers would just really top that. And of course then you've got the blini, which is sort of a similar thing, but these are made, the blinis are made with a tangy yeast flavour. So even though you may do the little pikelets to do your smoked salmon. Traditionally, the Russians did them with the beautiful blinis, and they were just lovely. And of course, they would have been served with caviar or smoked salmon, and just delicious. And farinata, which is an Italian pancake, is made with a chickpea flour and olive oil, and fried till it's really crisp on the outside and softened custardy on the inside. Fresh rosemary, sea salt and pepper often added directly to the batter. And in Genoa, tasty variations can include onions, artichokes or fish. I don't know of this, so I'm going to actually spend a little bit of time having a look at that because I think that could be really delicious. And, of course, the Japanese one at the moment is very, very trendy. And if you've been to any sushi, you would have had it. The okonomiyaki, which, of course, is the savoury griddle cake that comes from okonomi, meaning what you like, and yaki meaning grill. So a wide range of ingredients that include everything from seafood to vegetables to eggs, cheese and noodles are mixed into a batter and with grated nagaimo, a type of yam. Then griddle cooked into a rich creamy cake and topped with a variety of savoury sauces and toppings like scallions, chilies, bonita flakes. They really make a difference, and pickled ginger. I think what we're finding here a fair bit in Australia is that we get the cabbage. I have not had that yam, the nagaimo yam. I'll look out for that because that could be quite different. And then the cha-cha-pa. It's a Colombian one, and these are roadside pancakes in Venezuela and Colombia, and they're made with sweet corn flour, a little bit of sugar, griddled into flat cakes and served with savoury dishes, and they're, you know, beautiful. White corn masa around ingredients like cheese, refried beans to seafood, meat and fried plantains. So, of course, you're getting that whole different variation. And in Salvador, like the cacapas, the pupusas are made with a masa, which is the corn, but they're stuffed with fillings of the beans and seasoned meats prior to the cooking. So these little pockets of bliss, they're soft and creamy on the inside and crisp on the outside. Such a variety. And, of course, the Greeks, oh, they make some beautiful pastries, of course. So, of course, their crepes are going to be beautiful. And they're a different. They're sort of an ultra-thin crepe that's topped with savoury treats like rosemary, garlic, olive oil, sausage, pancetta, grated parmesan before being folded into quarters and eaten by hand. Often considered the food of the poor, but lucky for the rich, it's cool for everyone to eat them now. But that would just be a really nice way to eat. So there's some good ideas just to think savoury. When we come back, we're going to be talking what the kids are going to be doing, and they're going to be making some beautiful lemon ricotta pancakes. And when we have the family table, I'll be sharing that Vietnamese recipe for those beautiful Vietnamese yellow crepes. I'll be back shortly, and of course you're with Annette on Community Kitchen.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
Welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we're talking pancakes, and I must apologise for some of my pronunciations in the around the world pancakes. I'm sure there's a better pronunciation, but that's as good as it gets, folks. Lemon ricotta pancakes. I think these are just beautiful. I sometimes just use the ricotta straight into the regular mix that we've always used for our pancakes in our cookbooks, which is 1-1-1, one cup of flour, one cup of milk, and one cup of and one egg, sorry. But when you want to do the really big fluffy ones, this is a recipe that is delicious. I have tried it before. So you're using 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, plain, 3.5 tablespoons of sugar, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 cup of milk, about 3/4 cup of ricotta, 3 large eggs, some vanilla, about 1 to 2 tablespoons of lemon zest, and really you do want them lemony, and 1/4 cup of lemon juice and some butter. So you're just going to preheat the pan. I think it's so important, and I tell you what, one of the best things I've always found for cooking pancakes is electric fry pan. It just regulates, it's so easy, it's beautiful. So in a bowl, whisk together the flour, the sugar, the baking powder and the baking soda, and just let that sit for about 20 minutes, get it all together, make a well, and set aside. In a separate bowl, whisk the milk, the eggs, the ricotta, the vanilla until well blended. Add the butter, the lemon zest and lemon juice to milk. What you're doing here is you're wanting it to curdle. So really what you're doing is you're just making a buttermilk. So just lemon juice into the milk will curdle that. And that just gives it that little bit extra. Immediately pour the milk mixture into the flour and whisk. It'll be lumpy. You want it to be slightly lumpy, and you use about 1/3 cup batter for each pancake and let it cook, and just serve that with a little bit of dusted icing sugar, or drizzle it with some syrup of some sort. But they're just so delicious with the lemon and the ricotta. You sort of feel like you're getting something a little bit more exciting and nutritious, and of course they're just so easy to make that it's worthwhile. Just one thing with your pancakes, it is important to let that when you're making crepes, to let them sit for a little while. It makes a big difference when you actually start to cook them. And I know that when I did a function, I had to cook about 100, and every time I'd go through the kitchen, I'd just do another sort of batch of it. But I found by letting the mixture sit, it made a very big difference. So I'll share that with you when I come back shortly, and we're going to be talking the beautiful Vietnamese yellow pancake and, of course, just a really easy crepe mixture. I'll be back very shortly with Community Kitchen.
You're listening to The Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. We're talking pancakes today because it is Pancake Day. So I thought we'd have a bit of fun and talk about some savouries. We've talked about the international different pancakes around the world. This is one I really love, and I think it's a really nice one. And it's worthwhile, I think, having a bit of a go. And you know what? Even if they're not worked perfectly, the taste is still going to be there. So never be frightened of things not turning out perfectly, because apparently that's how Lamingtons were created. So who knows, you might create something that was absolutely fantastic. So this is the Vietnamese bang say o, and it's a prawn and mung bean sizzling pancake. Now, these can be a little bit tricky because you're going to fry them in a wok, but the ingredients go as such: 160 grams of rice flour, 1/2 teaspoon of tapioca starch, 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric powder, 1 pinch of salt, a small piece of fresh turmeric, really finely grated, 325 ml of water, 1 egg, 200 ml of coconut milk, and 1/2 bunch of spring onions, thinly sliced. Now, what you're going to be doing with that, combine all the ingredients and set it aside for about 30 minutes. For the filling, you're using mung beans. You just bring them to a boil for a little bit. You just want the crunch. You still want the crunch to be there because I think that's so important. I'm more inclined to go with them fresh. And then you can fry off some onions, add some garlic. You can put some prawns in there. And you just want those prawns to be opaque. For the dipping sauce, you're going to you're just going to make a really lovely garlicky dipping sauce, which is really nice. And the dipping sauce is 1 tablespoon of soft brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of boiling water, 1 1/2 tablespoons of fish sauce, 1 bird's eye chili, 1 lime wedge, 1 finger lime if you have it, 1/2 carrot finely shredded, and 1 garlic clove. And beside that, you also want to have some iceberg lettuce, some mint leaves, and some coriander or goodies. And the whole idea is, once you've cooked this pancake, It's a big round circle. Then you pile everything in apart from the lettuce and the herbs and fold that over. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, you're going to be tearing that pancake and wrapping it up in some lettuce, and you're going to be dipping that within the in that beautiful sauce. Now, for making the pancake, it can be a little bit tricky, but you just got to go with the care and cooking that in the actual wok. So you'll heat your wok, and then you will actually pour. And I'm trying to work out how much it would be. You know, when you're making any sort of crepe or any pancake, you've got a covering of the base. So probably a really good half a cup. And then what will happen, you'll start to cook that. And then it will actually start to bubble. It'll become quite crunchy. Flip it over. And then once it's actually cooked, it's delicious. But it is very important to actually have that all assembled, because it's a little bit of a procedure, I guess. It's like anything. When you're doing something that's a little bit different, you have to be a little bit prepared. But that mixture, once it sits, and maybe you can just do it in the pan. They do, most of the time it shows in the cooking shows that they're using it in the wok. I can't see why the pan wouldn't hurt, because you're still doing that even surface. But you want that to be a thin pancake so that you can actually turn it over on its side. In half, sorry, then you can actually fill that with the mung beans and the prawns and goodies like that and have all that together, and it's just so nice and crisp, absolutely delicious, and it's worth the time, I think, to try something a little bit like that. Talking of crepes, I mentioned before how I made them and used them for the lasagna. Crepes are just made with 1 1/4 cups of plain flour, 1 1/2 cups of milk, 3 eggs, 2 teaspoons of butter. And all you're doing is mixing it all together, beat well, and then you add the melted butter, which is about 2 teaspoons. You cover and let that sit for about an hour, because you want that to thicken a little bit. Strain the batter, because you don't want any lumps. And you'll need to be quite generous with the pan. I always make sure that I've got my baking paper with some butter there so you can rub it all over. And then you pour the butter into the pan, and when small bubbles appear, you flip. Now, once again, you just pour enough. I usually use just a little measuring cup. Pour enough to cover the base, swirl the pan around, and it's delicious. Now, you can replace the milk with coconut milk, and you can have a whole different flavor with that. But it's just fantastic. It's very simple. And, of course, these are lovely with an orange sauce, with lemon. You can have just a simple lemon juice and a little bit of sugar on them. But the crepe has got a really nice consistency. It's delicious. And it's just that something a little bit different. But when I used it the other night for the actual lasagna, I put it on the board. I'd cooled the filling. And I lay the crepe within the pan, even sides up, put the filling in, and then rolled it within the pan and just layering that all the way through. I had put a little bit of passata on the bottom, and then just put the pancakes very close together. And then I put some more passata on the top, and then I poured the bechamel sauce, and I just did one layer, and it was really quite delicious. So it's just something a little bit different. I don't know about you, but sometimes you just want to try something that little bit different. And cooking can be boring, I think, if you don't play around with the flavors and goodies like that. Being prepared is probably easy, having a bit of a thought of what you're doing, having a grocery list done. It all helps within the kitchen. So I hope I've inspired you to get in there today, do a couple of different types of pancakes, have a bit of a Google. I think it's always fun, and enjoy your cooking, and I'll be with you next week. You've been listening to Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.